Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew and also from the book of Luke. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Thank you, Mary Lou. I'm grateful for the chance to share each of these visitations combined today. There was the one to Mary, maybe it was Gabriel, we're not sure, but the angel came to give an announcement of a promise that she would be the bearer of our Lord. There was an angel in a dream to Joseph that there was a promise that he should not have to go his own way and make his own plans and walk away from what God had in store, but to press in and live into the plan that God had unexpectedly. And then thirdly, there was this encounter on a hillside, Judean hillside, of unexpected shepherds who were given the greatest news of all to go and share. So each visitation came with a blessing, a message, and a passing on to others. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, ends the reading in Luke's gospel. And I want us to, for the few moments we have together this morning, focus in on that promise of peace. Even though we lit the joy candle this morning, I want us to think in terms of the fact that it raises a good and valid question in all of our hearts in the world we live in. Can we trust and believe in the words of the angels today, that peace has come to earth in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your words for each one of us today. Lord, in the midst of the busyness of the season, give us grace to set aside time to receive your words of truth for each one of our lives, that we can give you glory in the highest in worship, and that we can experience your peace as we walk with you, and that your will is good towards those who trust and follow you, and that we can be your light and your hope and your joy in a world so needful of that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're getting close to Christmas time, 2017. I don't know about your home, but there's a lot of chatter in my home about things, and days are getting short and closer, and we have these paper rings that get pulled off one each day. As we get a little closer, the rings go away and the rope or the chain gets smaller, and so it's coming quick. So I pray all your preparation is done. I know that that's probably not the case, but that's okay. But as we're getting closer, as we think in terms of peace in our time, we have to pause for a moment and recognize once again that we live in a world and a time that it's been a very violent year. And in fact, the previous century has been referred to as the bloodiest of all human history. More people have been killed in more wars by more sophisticated weapons than any other century in creation of the world. Now, that's not to claim the sky is falling. It's just to state facts of context of the world that we live in. And in the midst of that, the angel announced on that night so long ago, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Charles Wesley's wonderful words still ring true in the marketplace. Hark, which is a word I never use. But it means pause, wait, listen, time out. Hark, the angels are saying something. In fact, they're saying glory to God in the highest, glory to the newborn king. How many times have we heard these words, especially this time of year? How many times have we seen them printed on a beautifully colored and designed Christmas card? How many times we've heard them over and over again? But imagine the words, these very words of the angel, in light of another event that we recognize, maybe not celebrate so much, but we recognize this time of the year, this month on December the 7th. For some, it was an event that changed everything. And in fact, I would say it was an event that shaped world history like no other. It was Pearl Harbor. It was a time whenever people had to change gears and change their lives and recognize that the world was not going to be as it was before this event. Try to imagine how you would have felt, especially if you were not a Christian and someone this time of year quoted these words to you, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. See, they might strike a nice sentimentality that has nothing to do with the real world, and that may be how they would perceive them. It's kind of pie in the sky thinking, but I don't think that's the truth of the case, because the angel came with good news. And news that was true news. See, I would take a moment and share a specific event of a life changed after this event at Pearl Harbor with you in just a moment. But before that, let me say that the words of the angel's song contain three promises today that we can break down directly related to the coming of Christ Jesus. First of all, glory to God in the highest. That's a promise from the angel. The second is peace on earth. We have to believe that. It wasn't just some statement that was being made, but it was a fact that in this child there would be peace on earth. And then thirdly, goodwill toward men. Now, can we trust these words is the question today. It's entirely possible if you were to analyze from a purely human perspective that only one of these three probably is true. The other ones, I don't know. I mean, we could say glory to God in the highest. After all, though, we're not completely 100% on that because we've not been there. But we're trusting by faith that in the highest place of heaven, there is glory even right now being given to God by his angels, the ones who came from his presence to make the birth announcement. And even though we've not been there, we trust that can be true. We can't see it, but we trust it in the heart of faith. But peace on earth? Really? Peace on earth. Well, once again, this isn't that the sky is falling, but just for context today, let me share with you some statistics. Since the year 3600 BC, some time ago, the world has known only 292 years of peace. And during that period, there have been 14,531 wars, large and small, in which 3,640,000,000 people have lost their lives. The value of the destruction would pay for a golden belt around the world 97 miles wide and 33 feet thick. In addition, since 650 BC, there have been 1,656 arms races, only 16 of which have not ended in war. The remainder have ended in the economic collapse of the countries that were involved. Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men is the word from the angel. That's the word that we take and trust today in the midst of a context like this that we live in. Is it just an impossible dream? Well, sometimes it may seem so, yet peace on earth and mercy mild was the promise given that night that our Lord was born in a manger. Though with that said, it seems that a week doesn't go by without some type of violent act in our world. And we hear the words, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Those are the people that we are called to be in the midst of a challenging world. Just this past week, in fact, Kim Jong-un's North Korea sent a dire warning to the United States, telling President Donald Trump to prepare for nuclear war if he attempts a seaside block of the Hermitage State. Whether that happens or not, we hear the song and we sing the song and we believe the song, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. The news is full of scandals of sexual impropriety and abuse that are sadly dominating stories in political groups, in entertainment groups, in news groups, in other groups. And while the words go through our heart and our minds, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. And all that we see if we turn on the evening news is that not a week goes by without some type of political fighting or infighting where it takes center stage. And yet, our hope this season is that God rest, ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. This is the one whose birth announcement promised peace on earth and goodwill toward men. See, even in our own Buffalo area, gang-related violence in recent years has taken way too many lives. Peace on earth. Where is it? Well, if you ponder the words of Jesus in light of what is actually happening around you, they appear to be a classic example of enthusiastic overstatement. In other words, it's a typical salesman's mistake where you overpromise and you underdeliver. Sure, he'll bring peace on earth, but we've been waiting 2,000 years, Lord. And yet, the angels didn't just make this up. It was a word of promise. It is still a word of promise. And so that brings us to the ultimate question. These words that we sing more than just say with our mouths, but we sing with our hearts and we believe in our spirit by the Holy Spirit. These words in verse 2 that say, the one who is with us is called Emmanuel, which is a word that means God with us, not just in December at Christmas, but January to December 31st. God is with us. Our God is with us. I cannot imagine a world where God would not be with us. And so in the midst of that, we trust and we believe that these words are true. And we believe that if Christ came to bring peace on earth, then why do we still have this gnawing question that it's not been fulfilled yet? These are good, honest questions, and they demand a thoughtful answer. You see, peace does not come to earth because of the condition of the human heart. Jeremiah the prophet said it this way, "The heart is deceitful above all things and very desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, it means that all of us, any of us who are left to ourselves, will do the most terrible things imaginable. But in Christ, redemption is found. And as the song says, as Charles Wesley penned, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. God and man have been reconciled." So people by nature are materialistic and selfish and greedy and self-centered. And all of us will say terrible things of people if we're provoked to the right way, and all will get physically violent if pushed to the edge, and we're foolish if we think anything else is true. The real problem is the condition of the human heart. See, the warfare that I mentioned and listed, the violence and warfare, it's not a Japanese problem. It's not an American problem. It's not an Iraqi problem. It's a human problem. They're not worse than us. We're not better than them. We're not different. We're all the same. And we are much more alike than we are different. And so we share the very same basic human nature. And when you sort through it all and you clear it all out and you get to the heart of it, the answer is clear. There is no peace on earth because on our own, apart from the heaven-born Prince of Peace, we're not peace-loving people. But for the one who came in righteousness that desires to be in us and live through us and do great and amazing things in shaping us into being as he is, there is truth in the promise of the angel that says peace on earth as it is in heaven. This is what we're bringing and delivering to you in this one who is so vulnerable, born today in the city of David in an animal dish in the manger, in humble beginnings. And so if there is no peace on earth today, the problem is not with Jesus. The problem is with those whose heart is a void or who is void of Emmanuel, God with us. And we might even add the connecting word God within us is the one who is the peace giver and the peace bringer. See, the ultimate problem is the human heart condition. And so when his promises have been followed, they have been completely fulfilled every time. And when his principles have been put into practice, there has truly been peace on earth. We see it. It's true. But sometimes with all of the other events and things blocking out our vision, we miss it. That peace has come to earth one heart at a time. See, God's plan is to bring peace to earth, moving from heart to heart, to heart, to heart, to your heart, from your heart to your heart, from one to the other, each at a time. God's plan is not reaching people in the masses. His plan is to reach people one by one. And so in that sense, there is no such thing as institutional peace. There is no such thing as national peace. There are only men and women who love peace and men and women who love war. Our God is a perfect gentleman. And in that sense, if you decide you want to be angry, God will allow you to do that. In that sense, if you decide you want to be bitter, he will allow you to stay there. If you decide you want to stay critical and judgmental, he will let you stay that way. As a perfect gentleman, God respects the freedom of your will. The message of peace is spread one heart at a time, one person at a time, from you to neighbor, to friend, to family, to spouse, to child. The message of peace is spread that way, like the song says, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." See, that's the way peace spreads from your heart to my heart, from others to us, from us to others. Someone may object and say, "Well, you know, that's an awfully slow way to bring peace on earth. Isn't there a better plan, Lord?" And the answer is simply this. It is a slow plan, but God's ways are the only ways that work in the end. And so now back to Pearl Harbor. Let me share a story of peace with you in a time that needed peace and needed hope and needed the joy and love of Jesus Christ in a way that, well, some who were there can understand. I can't say I understand, for I was not there, but it was a few months after the attack, and America was rearming and getting ready for war in the Pacific. And consider Jake DeShazer's story. He was held in a prisoner of war camp for nearly 4 years, and during that time he was beaten, he was mistreated, he was nearly starved to death, and by his own admission, he hated the Japanese with a fierce hatred. He hated the way they looked. He couldn't stand their language, and when the Americans in the prisoner of war camp asked for some reading material, they were given an English language Bible 14 months later. The Bible was eventually passed to Jake DeShazer. For the first time in his life, he read the Bible. And as the story of Jesus, the message of forgiveness seemed to overwhelm him, and there in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, Jake gave his heart to Jesus Christ. By his testimony, in that one transforming moment, all the anger was gone. All the hatred was gone. He even started loving his Japanese guards. And after the war was over, Jake came back to America to study, and he later returned to Japan as a missionary where he preached and wrote gospel tracts. True story from World War II. In comes Mitsui Fuchida, who was returning home to work on the family farm. His fighter pilot days were done and over forever, and for a while he thought that he would be tried as a war criminal, but instead he was called as a witness. In 1950, Fuchida rode the train to Tokyo, and as he was walking across a platform, someone handed him a little piece of paper. He took it and glanced at the title that said, "I was a prisoner of Japan." And he stuffed it in his pocket, and he thought it was another story about Japanese atrocities. It wasn't. It was Jake's story of how he had come to Christ. And so as he read the story, he was captivated. It told of a man who once hated the Japanese, but now gave his life to reach them for Jesus Christ. The tract caused Fuchida to find a Bible and to begin reading it. And as a Buddhist, it was all new to him. He had never, ever even heard these stories before. He was enthralled by the story of Jesus Christ, especially by the story of crucifixion, and most especially by the words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I was impressed that I was certainly one of those for whom he had prayed. The many men I had killed and been slaughtered in the name of patriotism, for I did not understand the love which Christ wants to implant in every heart. And right in that moment, I seemed to meet Jesus for the first time. I understood the meaning of his death as a substitute for my wickedness, and so in prayer I requested him to forgive my sins, change me from a bitter, delusioned ex-pilot into a well-balanced Christian with purpose in living. That day, April 12, 1915, became my second day to remember in my life, because the first day he remembered being the man who led the attack on Pearl Harbor from Japan. He became a Christian and an evangelist and the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an amazing story. We don't hear those in the main media, that these two seemingly possibly insignificant war heroes who would have gone down in history without anyone knowing, the Lord took hold of and did amazing things because of their faithfulness and trusting in the Prince of Peace. See, it's a testimony today to the power of Jesus Christ to reconcile former enemies and turn them into friends. Is there such thing as peace on earth? Absolutely. The answer is yes. Definitely. But the peace Jesus came to bring is not one around a conference table, and it's not one at the point of a bayonet. His peace goes from heart to heart to heart. To heart, to heart, from mine to yours, and yours to mine, whenever we allow Christ to work in and through us. Charles Wesley's great hymn reminds us today that true peace can be a part of anyone's experience who trusts that God has come in the guise of a vulnerable little baby, but who soon will return as a triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the candle that we lit today reminds us that by knowing his peace, we can be filled with his joy, not just at Christmas time, but every day that we walk this journey with him. The angel's message is true. There is such a thing as peace on earth, but it's not a concept or even an experience. It's a person. The peace has come, and he will come again as we anticipate that in a posture of worship. And so it is possible to have peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and to give God glory for both this day and every day of our lives. Let's pray. Oh God, we pray today that at Christmas time that the peace of Jesus Christ may be our peace. I pray for this community and this congregation, no matter with what things we have brought in here that are distracting us, that are keeping us from experiencing your peace, I pray for grace to just let go of those so that we can be reminded that the words of the angels are not just words of head knowledge, but that are hope of heart knowledge for the one who believes in faith. I pray today, Lord, that you will open our hearts and that we would open our hearts to you, being the gentlemanly God and Father that you are. You are waiting for us to just open up to you, that Jesus in a new way would come so that we will personally experience not just peace in our own individual lives, but literally peace on earth. As we move and breathe and live as the people of God, Lord Jesus, we long to experience the reality of your presence. For some of us, peace seems very far away even now. We long to draw close to you and to have your peace fill our hearts. And so God, in your mighty power and Holy Spirit, in your presence, help us as we go through this year to let go of things like bitterness and anger and resentment. Anything that would rob us of the glorious gift of peace that you alone can give us. Help us to forgive as you forgave, and so be filled with your peace this year at Christmas time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.